He speaks perfect English. Interrogator, who are you and why are you here and how did you get here? Mike, showing some excitement in his voice. Finally someone that speaks my language. An alien named Milton sent me here. Interrogator, who or what is Milton? Mike, Milton is an extraterrestrial I met this morning on Earth. He put me on a ship to this planet, the ship docked to a space station orbiting your planet. After disembarking from the ship, the same kind of creature that brought me to this room grabbed me and put me into a ship that came here. Interrogator, so you are here by some freak accident. A breach of this kind is very rare and nearly impossible. Someone or thing wanted you here and let you slip through our impenetrable security. Mike, can I have something to eat and drink? And if I should need to relieve myself, where do I go? Interrogator, there are humans on this planet but few in this city. Humans here are quarantined and placed on special diets because our digestive systems are quite different from that of humans. Humans have bacteria in the intestines that we don't tolerate well. I have some wafers and a special drink that you can consume. They produce no residuals in your system, but they will give you energy. Mike, how long will I be kept in quarantine? Interrogator, until you leave, which will be as soon as we receive authorization and instruction on what to do with you. There are a number of reading materials with pictures, or you can view our version of television. The controls are on the table with the reading materials. The interrogator leaves the room. Mike is distraught and looks for something that will take his mind off his problems. He retrieves the television control and it turns on automatically. The four walls, ceiling and floor are television screens and light up. Six different channels play simultaneously and cycle continuously to other channels and programs. It's a mass of confusion and Michael put the control down and it turned everything off. The language was high-pitched and fast and gave him a headache. Milton, hello Michael. Mike, am I glad to hear your voice, Milton. Did you fix the screw-up? Milton, there was no screw-up, it was intentional. I wanted you to get a glimpse of other civilizations in this solar system, so I directed one of the androids to take you to the ship. You were a stowaway. They don't like us doing those things, but they tolerate it. You do not pose a danger to them because we sealed your digestive tract before placing you into the transport to Uranus. Mike, I'm fascinated by this place. Their society seems similar to Earth's, except technologically many decades ahead of Earth. Milton, more than that, they absorb information rapidly. You got a hint that when you turned on their television, that's normal viewing for them. They breathe air and consume food that produces no waste. They eat and drink small amounts compared to humans. Mike, tell me more about them, Milton, if you don't mind. Milton, the city you are in is a stable society. It didn't get that way over time, it was created that way. It's not going to advance or decline, it will remain stable and the same for millions of years. The population of that city is 100 million, not including androids. Now turn the television on and I will find a station for you, and I will mute the rest of them. Michael turns the television on. On the screen is a view of the city from the outside. The city is inside a tube-like structure that rises from the surface of the planet and extends several miles into the outer atmosphere. The circumference of the tube is 50 miles. There are many of these tube cities, on Uranus, some larger, some smaller. Inside the tube there are no cars, buses, trucks, trains or aircraft. People travel in a complex system of trams that move vertically and horizontally and everything in between. The city is a wonderland of lush gardens and tropical forests. Because of the distance from the sun there is no sunshine, however the city is aglow with abundant light. The source is unknown to Mike and unexplainable to him, it simply emanates like air and covers everything like sunshine. The tube cities are not concentrated together, many hundreds of miles separate each city. The outer walls of the tube city are used for habitation, work areas, learning institutions, entertainment complexes and more entertainment areas. There are no oceans as on Earth, but each city has many large lakes, some on platforms throughout the length and height of the tube. Biodiversity exceeds that of Earth. There are innumerable varieties of plants, insects and animal species on Uranus and in the tube cities. Mike, Milton, can I apply for citizenship here? Milton, no. Your path is on a different course. For instance, most of the people that you traveled here with on the transport to Uranus have been taken to some of the moons to get unique views of the planet, but they remain unaware of the life forms that exist on Uranus. But you now know more than they do. Mike, are the people of Uranus aware of humans and entities as yourself? Milton, the whole population is fully aware of other life in this solar system and the life that exists throughout the galaxy. Unlike on Earth, where less than 1% of the population is aware of intelligent life in the solar system and in the galaxy. Mike is engrossed with what he sees in the city on the screen. There are tubes within tubes. The cylinder-shaped structures are the dominant designs, whereas on Earth the architecture is primarily rectangular. Mike, there is something strangely familiar about this city. I have lived here in the past. Excitement in his voice. Milton, you chose to go to Earth and be placed into a baby's body to experience being human, and for other reasons. Like a broken dam, memories burst into Mike's mind from his past life on Uranus. He was a physicist, not married but had a lover. Marriage is not part of the culture in that city, nor are children. People enter that city fully formed and aware adults. There is no age difference. Everyone of that species or category is the same. Their bodies are biological machines. They eat strictly for pleasure, and they live for pleasure. Cut to INT. Mike reliving a memory on Uranus, a past life. Mike lives in a spacious and luxurious 20-room suite on the 5,060th floor of one of the tubes in the city. Everyone lives in similar units. Floor to ceiling is more than 25 feet and balconies protrude out overlooking spectacular views of the city. There is no inclement weather, biting insects, noise or crime, so everything is open, no windows, screens or doors. The city is utopia, no poverty, no wars, no sickness nor death. The population is serviced by androids and other machines. Mike has many friends. There are no individual family structures as on Earth. In a way, everyone is family. He is a lover, as do all of the inhabitants, but their bodies are not anatomically similar to the human bodies. There are male-female characteristics but no reproductive organs, and genitalia are not as pronounced as that of humans. All the inhabitants derive a certain pleasure from each other. There are few monogamous relationships. Mike's main lover is called Nepti. Cut to fade in. INT. Mike's suite on Uranus, 55 Earth years earlier. Nepti speaking to Mike. I'm considering taking the B-786 assignment on Earth. Mike, that assignment is for 63 Earth years. Why a new assignment so soon? Nepti, I owe you a favor. She goes by the name Alinda on Earth. She has two children and a good husband but is having problems. I think I can help her and bring B-786 to fruition at the same time. Mike, Earth is a tricky gig. Where do you go from there? Nepti, they give me two options. Depending on my performance, I could return here or advance to another order on another star system, to be determined at completion of my assignment. Mike embraces Nepti and their robes fall free to the floor. Touching bodies is extremely stimulating. Kissing and embracing is mentally orgasmic. They embraced the equivalent of 2 Earth hours, and rather than being exhausted afterwards, they emerge rejuvenated. Often the embracing takes place in a pool of warm liquid. The pool is in the center of the main room of the house and is often used by guests during a visit. There is nothing taboo about the act of embracing and is commonly done in public places. Pools are readily available for anyone should they be attracted to each other. Robes have no purpose other than appearance. Nudity is not an issue. The people of Uranus are similar to humans, only lacking in similar genitalia and body hair. The female version is smaller and cute, with small breast. Uranus people are not carbon copies of each other. Bodies and personalities are unique as humans on Earth. Nepti Belii is pregnant with a female child and will give birth into Earth months. I will enter the body and make it my own a week after the birth. Mike, I prefer to wait at least a month before going into a baby's body. The eyes are more focused by then. But it's been several centuries since I have done that, and Earth is at a higher level now than it was back then. Perhaps it doesn't matter that much. Neptune, you know, Mike, there are many projects that need filling. Why don't you jump in and take one? Mike, there is one particular assignment that I had my eye on for some time, but I enjoyed being around you so much I couldn't make the jump. Now that you are going to be away for a little time, I may do it. But this assignment has an ambiguous end date, so it could end in 50 Earth years or go much longer. I have considered it because it has a good probability it will parallel yours and best of all will lead to the same place as you afterwards, otherwise I wouldn't do it. Nepti Earth has received a high number of returns from the First and Second World Wars, and they are getting a huge influx of undesirables from to other star systems. These are not going to be easy assignments, as you know. At that point Mike is snapped out of his past memories and brought back to his present state. Mike Milton, why did you block my memories? I was enjoying my past. Milton, your assignment is not complete, and it can easily be compromised at this stage. I let you see a little because you have veered off track. We hope that some of the things you learn today will remedy that. Mike, will I see Nepti again? Milton, we'll talk about that later. Mike, it's amazing how much the human type brain blocks out everything from the past. My mind nearly froze up from the sheer volume of memories that came at me from my former life. There is so much more to existence yet humans have no idea. Why is that? Milton, you know the answer to all those questions, but while on Earth, certain knowledge would interfere with the purpose of life on that planet. However, not everyone on Earth has a purpose. Many are incarcerated there. They are criminals from other planets, from other solar systems, and some are repeats. Criminals from previous lives on Earth. Earth is also a vacation destination. Many entities, people are there to enjoy themselves. A few know who they are, the rest believe themselves simply fortunate, others cursed. The interrogator walked back into the room. Mike sat up straight into his chair, expecting news that he would be released and allowed to go. He had a new appreciation of the people of Uranus now that he knew he was one of them. Interrogator Mike, we have reason to believe that your presence on Uranus has more to do with human interests than fluky ET joyrides. I'm sure you are aware of the presence of humans on this planet, are you not? Mike assumed that there are humans in your cities as guests or tourists. Interrogator, very few in that category because of the problems I mentioned earlier. Humans are carriers of bacteria. Mike, how can a civilization as advanced as yours not have a handle on bacteria? Interrogator, we do have a handle on it. We engineered it for the human digestive tract and have isolated the germ on Earth. Now that humans have begun to migrate off Earth, such as yourself by supernatural means for purposes even we don't quite understand, but we do have contingencies in place for abductees due to those breaches of protocol. Humans are showing up in greater numbers on many moons and other planets including Uranus, due to external elements giving them technology prematurely. Mike, so Einstein was wrong, God does throw dice? Interrogator, I don't know about God, but there are many variables in this galaxy. Your being here, for instance, should not have happened. Mike, I was shown some memories of my past existence on Uranus, am I not one of you? Interrogator, that is information you shouldn't have been given. If what you say is true, a serious breach of compliance has occurred. Interrogator leaves the room. Mike is bewildered by what he just heard. Mike Milton, have you involved me in some intergalactic conspiracy? Milton, life in general is a conspiracy. There is a large human presence on Uranus which has complicated your situation. I'm working on it. Mike, can't you abduct me off Uranus like you did with me on Earth? Milton, the people of Uranus are highly advanced and can detect and capture my ship and detain me if they find out that I am behind your being on their planet. They can monitor your telepathy but not mine, so don't repeat anything I say to you. Mike, great. I get up and go on a simple walk this morning and now I'm involved in extraterrestrial schemes. The door opens and an android enters the room. Scans Mike with a beam emitted from its hand and states that Mike's bowels remain sealed. Therefore, he doesn't require a containment suit before leaving the room. Mike sarcastically, fantastic, I will put that information in my resume. Android, follow me and don't try to run or escape. If you do, I will catch you and place you under arrest. Mike, does that mean I'm not free to go back to Earth? Android, I don't have answers for you. I have been instructed to take you to another location in the city. Cut to, INT. Large open area where Mike first entered. Continuous, the android takes Mike over to a bank of elevators and they enter into one of the elevators. They are at one of the uppermost levels of the city, several miles high, and the android is taking Mike down several floors beneath the surface of the planet. The elevator is fast, surpassing by many times the speed of freefall as it descends. Mike feels nothing and only a moment passes before the elevator reaches its destination. The door opens and the Mike and the android step out. Cut to, INT. Subterranean level of Tube City. Moments later, android walks away and Mike is left alone in the underground city. Human-looking men walk by staring at Mike. Then several of them come over and touch him, poke him as if they are not sure they are seeing what they think they are seeing, and then one speaks to Mike. Man in the crowd speaking in English, "You sure look human. Are you from Earth? Do you speak English?" Mike hesitant, "I'm from Earth, and obviously I speak English." Man in the crowd, "You came out of that elevator. Humans are prohibited in that city. You were in that city. Who are you and how did you get in that city?" Everyone in the crowd looks at Mike intently, waiting for his answer. Mike is not sure how to answer, not knowing what he can or should reveal, and avoids the question. He asks his own questions. "Mike, first tell me what humans are doing on Uranus when most of the world barely believes we have been to Earth's moon." They all look at each other, not sure what they can confide to him. Then another man speaks up. "Other man, bet you are hungry? Mike, they gave me some wafers and told me that humans are not allowed to eat normal food because of the bacteria in our system. I'm not hungry, but are you saying that you can eat normal human-type food down here?" "Other man, in this area you can eat anything you want. Never heard about bacteria being a problem before. Have any of you guys?" Everyone shook their heads no, still looking at Mike as if he were a strange anomaly. Another man, who introduced himself as Joe, spoke up and asks that the others go about their business while he speaks with Mike. The crowd dispersed, their curiosity still piqued as some talk amongst themselves as they walk away. "Joe, let's go where we can talk without drawing a crowd. There is a pub down a ways from here. The area they are in looks like a shopping and entertainment district where one can get basic supplies and some diversions." Mike and Joe walk the equivalent of two blocks and enter the pub. It was a typical pub but didn't have the variety of drinks found in most modern drinking establishments on Earth. There are stools around the bar, and tables and booths. A billiard table and some pinball machines and a jukebox were located in the center of the room. Cut to, INT. Pub. Continuous, Joe and Mike sit at one of the booths and an android hands them menus. Mike takes one out of curiosity and looks through it. Joe orders a beer. Mike surprised, "Hamburgers. Fish. Don't tell me you guys have cows and oceans up here." "Joe, all our food comes from Earth. It gets special processing and packaging and we receive shipments twice a week." "Mike, what the hell are humans doing on Uranus? And how is it possible to travel that distance?" "Joe, since you have to ask me those kinds of questions, I can't give you the answers. The important question for me is, who are you and how and why are you here?" "Mike, an extraterrestrial brought me here." "Joe, that's how we get here. We call it the ET Express. There are several thousands of humans on this planet, but I can't give you an exact number because no one knows it. There are covert operations within covert operations. And then to complicate things further, there is you. We have been told that no human can enter the city that you came out of. There isn't a man or woman." "Yes, there are women here, which would give their right arm to see what you have seen." "So what is in that city?" "Mike, it's you basic utopia. They live exquisite lives. The city is void of all the problems that plague humans on Earth. War, sickness, disasters, poverty. They don't have any of that. They seem to know all the answers that have eluded humans, well, most of them anyway. And all of Earth's technology comes from them, if you can believe that." "Joe, I believe it. All our equipment, the androids and the cities we humans inhabit were made by them also, yet we don't interact directly with them. We communicate through the androids, but the androids don't tell us anything about their masters. However, We are participating in the construction of a satellite city orbiting Uranus. It's primarily a learning experience for us. Everything here is a learning experience. Mike, how did you get picked for this assignment? People don't just up and disappear from Earth if they have family and friends, can they? Joe, thousands of people disappear every year without a trace from Earth. Those are statistics they gave me when I was approached for this assignment. I was an officer in Special Forces in Vietnam when they made me the offer. I'm an only child, I was told, and raised by my grandparents who passed away shortly after I joined the army. Never knew my father or mother, and I had no wife or children of my own. I went down as missing in action, and the next thing I know I was on a spaceship to Uranus. Talk about doing a mind job on my head, that did it. I have been back to Earth several times under a new identity. I received my PhD in sociology at an Ivy League university, enrolled as a foreign exchange student. Mike is sitting with his back to the front door and remains distracted by Joe's story. One of the men that encircled Mike earlier walked into the pub holding a club behind his back. The man looked at Joe to acknowledge that he should make his move. The man slowly walked up behind Mike and hit Mike over the head with the club. Mike drops off the seat, and Joe and the man pick Mike's limp body up and they carry him into a freight elevator in the back of the pub. The elevator goes down several floors and stops. Joe and the other man pull Mike's limp body out of the elevator and leave him on the floor a few feet away and get back in the elevator. Cut to, INT. Cavern under Tube City. Later, a few minutes go by and Mike regains consciousness. He feels the back of his head and there is a little blood and a large painful lump. He looks around, not sure where he is. Then he remembers he is not on Earth. He thinks to himself that there appears to be no one in the solar system he can trust. His sanity is teetering on the edge of madness. He finds the strength to pull himself up and staggers a few feet before he straightens up completely. There is indirect light in the cavern with no apparent source, not bright just enough to see his way around. Many large objects fill the part of the cavern he is in. They look like a machinery encased in a smooth metallic material. No sound or vibrations comes from the objects. A painful silence hangs in the air. Mike feels utterly alone and becomes severely depressed. He looks at his watch and it's only 5 p.m. on Earth, and still the same day. He believes that his watch must have stopped working. He feels like he has been away from Earth at least 2 or 3 days, if not longer. Mike Milton, can you hear me? I'm tired of all this fun and games. What is the motive behind all this secrecy? I don't care that humans are on this stinking planet. I don't care that intelligent life other than humans exist. Give me back my normal fucking life. No answer. Mike walks back to the elevator and goes to push the button, but there are no buttons. The elevator operates through some other means. Now he is hungry and thirsty, but doesn't even know if he can eat because he has been plugged. What a crazy day this has been, he yells out in a desperate voice, while standing facing the elevator. He turns around and walks out into the cavern looking for another way out. The cavern goes on seemingly forever. There are big tubes and pipes running along the tall ceilings and the machinery-looking objects everywhere. He has walked for 30 minutes and hasn't seen anyone, or a way out. The scenery remains the same. He is tired and weak, and presses on. The floor or ground of the cavern is a solid and smooth material similar to concrete floors and is black. The walls and ceiling are gray and also of a concrete material. Floor to ceiling is about 50 feet. Off in the distance of the cavern, Mike spots something that is moving towards him. It's a vehicle and moving very rapidly. An android is operating it. It comes to a stop in front of Mike. Android, get in. Mike gets in. The machine goes back in the direction it came from at a rapid speed. It's a hover-type craft with no steering mechanism or other visible controls. It seems to be operated by the android's computer brain. Mike doesn't speak to the android because the androids never give him useful information. The vehicle approaches what appears to be a solid wall, and without slowing down continues towards the wall. Mike braces himself for impact, but at the last possible moment an opening appears and the vehicle shoots through it and the opening closes. Dissolved to, INT. Human Town. Afternoon, Mike sees a bustling futuristic city with humans. The vehicle continues into the city where the streets are filled with similar vehicles operated by androids. There are no stop lights at the intersections and the vehicles stream in both directions without stopping or slowing, in perfect synchronization. It took a few intersections before Mike stopped flinching every time they came to one. The whole city with its sky-high buildings is subterranean. There is artificial light that shines as bright as the sun. The light rays felt like they were coming from the sun. It was a beautiful sunny day below ground level on Uranus. The city was huge and completely different in appearance than the tube cities above the surface. This city had a human feel and look to it, identical in architecture and street layout to cities like Chicago and New York. The android gives Mike a tour of the city. There are high-rise apartments and office complexes, and away from the core of the city there are suburbs with single-family homes and green yards with landscaping. They have school buildings and parks, lots of parks and walking trails. There are thousands of acres of lush forest with walking and bike trails. They even have a prison. Mike was not surprised, having been mugged by a couple of thugs. Android, I'm not authorized to give you human food and drink, but I can give you some wafers and special drink. Would you like some? Mike, yes I would, thank you. By the way, are you taking me somewhere in particular in this city, or only killing time before you kill me? Android, I'm killing time until I receive further instructions. Is there somewhere or something you would like to see in this city in the meantime? Mike, I would like to walk on the trail in the forest if I could. The android makes a beeline to the forest. The vehicle can fly as well as hover. The android parks the vehicle in the parking area and lets Mike off. Android, I will remain here and come and get you when I'm notified to bring you in. Mike, no hurry. There are women and men with baby strollers, people riding bikes, people walking and jogging on the trail. It's a clear blue sky day and sun is shining brightly, yet there is no sun in the sky. Mike feels as if he is on Earth. The only giveaway is that the parking lot is filled with strange-looking vehicles chauffeured by androids. The temperature is a perfect 78 degrees Fahrenheit. Mike knows that because his watch displays the temperature. Cut to, EXT. Forest in human town. Evening, Mike is walking on a trail that cuts through the forest. Some of the trees tower as high as sequoia trees in California. The same types of trees that he has seen on Earth are here, and many he has never seen. The climate is tropical and there are many varieties of plants and trees, most of them with colorful blooms and fragrance. The insects glow in the darkness of the forest canopy, and large moths and butterflies with colorful flapping wings give a hint of fairyland to the forest atmosphere. Mike is enjoying his walk but can't forget what happened to him a few moments earlier and touches his head where he was hit to verify that it did happen. The bump has shrunk but remains sore to the touch. That doesn't make sense to him. What are thugs doing in paradise? He thinks to himself. The walk in the woods has completely relaxed Mike and he wonders what's next. He is somewhat giddy with the thought despite the mugging. 20 minutes have passed and an android riding a two-seater bike pulls up next to Mike. Android, jump on, it's time to go. Mike has grown fond of the android, even though it's only a machine, and one that appears to have no emotions or concerns for those they serve, but they are examples of efficiency and this one has a likable quality to it. They ride back to the parking lot and get into the vehicle. The android takes Mike to an office building on the outskirts of the city. He drops Mike off at the entrance and tells him to report to room 502 and wait there. Cut to, INT. Room 502, continuous. Mike enters the office with 502 on the door. No one is in the reception area. Mike sits down on one of the chairs. Mike Milton, if you can hear me, let me know. I have a wife at home and she is going to wonder where the hell I am. Can I get a message to her? No answer from Milton. A woman enters the room dressed in a laboratory gown and asks Mike to come with her. She looks familiar to Mike but he can't place her. Mike gets up and follows her. Mike, you look familiar. Do I know you from somewhere? Woman technician, yes, we have met before. They walk down a long hallway and enter one of the rooms. It looks like an operating room. Mike gets a knot in his stomach and becomes apprehensive. Woman technician relax Michael, this is routine, you have done it a number of times before.